to Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, I'm just going to give a super simplified version of how this happens, non-scientific completely. The caterpillar dissolves into its cells, and just when it must think that its life is over, it reforms into the butterfly. Not only is it not finished struggling, but it's not ready to go out into the world yet without the support of the cocoon and helping it to build its wings strong enough to take it everywhere it's going to fly. I can't imagine that any of that is easy, but neither are busting through the limits that society places upon us. Today, I'm going to have two guests to share about this amazing school in Northern Illinois and all the fabulous things that they can do at this school. But before I bring them on, I have to do all the housekeeping things. Be sure if you're watching us live that you give us a hashtag live and where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, give us a hashtag replay and where you're watching from. And make sure to like and subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss any of my amazing guests. All right. I think that's everything. So I'm going to bring on my friends, Lindsay and Meredith. How are you ladies doing today?
Awesome.
We're doing great. Thanks for asking. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yes, of course. I am really excited to share with my audience. I met these ladies at a dyslexia awareness conference in the fall of 2025 and just fell in love with what they are doing, with what their school that they work for offers. And I can't wait for you all to get to know them and a little bit more about their school. So, Lindsay, tell us about yourself.
Sure. I'm Lindsay Morales, the campus director at Brightmont Naperville. Background-wise, I've been in the special education space for about 15 years now. Worked in a lot of different variety of classrooms. Also dabbled in nonprofit education, museum programming, all things education. And I'm came to Brightmont about 2.5 years ago now, and will never go anywhere else. I think I'm here to stay, but just absolutely fell in love with the model, what we're able to offer families, our incredible customization, and just, you know, building a community and a safe environment where all students feel like they belong.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. All right, Meredith, your turn. Tell us about you.
Hey, everybody. My name is Meredith, and I have been at Brightmont since October of 2025. So I am kind of the newbie over here. But I have also fallen in love with Brightmont and just the individual programming and the alternative education that they can provide for so many different kids. You know, I have been in the education, you know, industry profession for almost two decades now. And I was just an elementary teacher for a little bit, and then I had my own children, and I had just kind of realized they were missing the mark by just a few things. And I realized, oh man, I am going to need to invest some mental capacity in my own kids. So I had been running a micro school for the past 5 years that was really came about from my own children's needs for a diverse learning plan and things like that. And so when I shut that down, I came over and was just super excited when I heard about Brightmont and was like, what is this? And so, yeah, here I am at Brightmont now. And we are building our St. Charles location. We have been open for about a month now. And so I am just loving all of the contacts with our different professional, our different families and things like that. So, yeah, I'm really excited to be able to be here. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I love that you both said, you know, you just fell in love with the Brightmont Academy concept. So first of all, before we get going, I just want to, we've got a few people watching. So I just want to shout out to you all. those of you who are watching, we appreciate you being here. And be sure, you know, if you have questions or comments for the guests or myself, to go ahead and pop those into the chat. And as we can, I will pop them up and we will address those. So, Lindsay, can you tell us a little bit more, since Meredith just said she's only been there a couple of months, can you tell us a little bit more about this awesome place that you all fell in love with as well as myself?
Sure. So Brightmont is a private one-to-one school. And when we say one-to-one, we mean one-to-one. One student, one teacher in each classroom. Throughout that entire day, we offer full-time programming, part-time programming, intervention, enrichment, tutoring, lots of different options. And we have, at the core, we are a flexible model. So that is something that I think is incredibly important to a lot of our families, is the ability to have a shortened day, the ability to have, work around different appointments and different activities that families have going on. Obviously, being one-to-one, there is so much customization that goes into everything we do. One-to-one instruction allows us to meet students where they're at. So in terms of, students with a variety of different needs, accommodations are kind of naturally built into our programming. Executive functioning is kind of naturally built into a lot of our classes and programming. But just the ability to truly meet students where they're at in a one-to-one model and build a schedule to meet their needs, it is what we do. We're fully accredited, private academy. We do have, obviously, Shelley, as you mentioned, we have campuses in Illinois, but we started in Washington State as college prep. And that was all we did, was high school, college prep, rigorous academics, but a flexible model. And really since then, kind of as the world has changed and education's evolved, people have really started to look for different options for a lot of different reasons. And so as we've expanded campuses into, different states, we now have campuses in 9 states, if I'm correct. Meredith, do you remember?
I know we have 24 locations, I believe. 24. I think I'm the 24th.
So 24 campuses, and truly the mission is the same at each campus. Meet students where they're at in that true one-to-one model.
That is fantastic. And so Meredith, tell the audience a little bit about maybe what a day looks like in the life of a student. And I know there's not, and I didn't say a typical day because it didn't sound like there was a typical day. So just pick a student in your mind and kind of run through that student's day, and then maybe pick another one and kind of go through, two different scenarios for us.
Yeah, for sure. So there are, of course, there's no typical day, right? There's no typical student. And so when you're working with students, you never know what you're going to get. So here we are. So when we have students come in, they have each of our spaces are right individual classrooms that really fit that one teacher and that one student. My location is beautiful, so we are loving that. So when our students come in, they are usually meeting there with their teacher and they are sitting down. What I love so much about our teachers is they're so passionate about providing that alternative education for the kids. And so they're really making lessons come alive. And they are really enabling the students to be able to understand what they're actually learning, which I feel like is
that's incredible.
Such an amazing gift to the kiddos. Each of our sessions are 55 minutes with what we like to call the passing period in between. And so there is socialization that's happening in between the passing periods. before campuses all do shut down for lunch together, usually between 12:30 and 1. And so there's another time where people can just, if they're here for lunch, they bring their lunches and we have lunches. But every, like on the hour, they're rotating through their different sessions. And this would probably be for more of your like part-time, full-time students. We also have skill building or tutoring. And so those sessions would look a little bit different. Usually those might be traditional kids coming after school. And those are, you know, of course, classes that those would be directly, you know, customized for them and what they're needing. So it depends on the time of day. You know, there's some morning kids that come in and then they have lunch and then they go home and then they might come in for, you know, sometimes at 10. I think one of the things that's really great, a lot with our high school students, they don't like to get up early because they're all nocturnal. I mean, I think that might be in common for most of them. So that like 10 to 11 is a really golden, you know, hour for a lot of our high school students. So just depending on the student, just depending on, you know, what time of day they come in. We do have some athletes as well who prefer to be here really early so they can head back into the gym and do their training with, you know, whatever sport that they might be in. So that is also another, you know, type of student who would come in as well.
So I so appreciate what you said about the high school students. And I don't know if, and forgive me, Lindsay, if you said this and I missed it or didn't stick with me. Did you give, like, are you just high school? I know you said it started off as high school, like college prep, but do you cover all grades first? Let me ask that question.
Yeah, we do. We first through 12th. And, you know, kindergarten is a special something. We do have kindergartners enrolled at some of our campuses. Naperville just enrolled their first kindergartner last week, which was super exciting. But he's a kindergarten kiddo who, there's no such thing as gifted education in some kindergarten, first, second grade programs in some of these districts. Right. So, you know, family that really was just looking for like an enrichment and keep him, you know, in love with learning. So we can start as early as kindergarten and we go all the way through 12th grade graduation. So.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. And so then what I started to say was, I really appreciate that you all listen to the science about kids' sleep patterns, because it frustrates me so much when I hear these schools that are starting at 7:30 in the morning, 7:15, 8 o'clock, even 8:30. I mean, 8:30 is at least getting closer to the golden hour. But, you know, I know so many schools. I'm like, guys, the science is here. We have study after study after study that talks about that our kids aren't ready to learn. Most of them, you know, the typical, whatever that is, but the, you know, the majority aren't ready to learn until 9 or 10 in the morning. And so how much research backed ways of doing things, do you follow? I mean, it sounds like at least for the sleep thing, you follow that. But yeah, how much research goes into how you decide what is appropriate for each student? And I'm going to ask both of you to answer that. And Lindsay, if you want to go first.
Sure. I think the first and foremost, you know, there's research, which is important to listen to and hear and follow and stay up to date. But truly the most important piece for me is listening to that family. Some of the families, they walk through our doors and they have just been, I mean, some of the stories are traumatizing. I mean, they're in a state of crisis of, we've been, you know, in the public school environment and we're taking them to ABA therapy and we're taking them to reading intervention at this place. And now this kiddo who, you know, has some challenges, right, but has these amazing, amazing qualities, is now in a school setting from 8:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. And so sometimes what they just need is, hey, listen to what we've been doing. Help us figure out how to create the best program for where we're at. And so for me, it's really listening to where they're at. Is sleep an issue, right? Is curriculum an issue? Is the right intervention, you know, part of the issue? Is it social anxiety and the anxiety around school and the refusal that, you know, may be going on? What does the data look like? What is, you know, what is the family feeling? There's so many other elements. So research definitely plays a part. But for me, every family is very different in terms of when they walk through our door and when they're looking for something different. And from there, pivoting to really, yes, sleep is an issue, right? So where do we go from here? What does that schedule look like? Or yes, we definitely need a research-based intervention. You know, and we need these accommodations to be implemented with fidelity across the board, right? We know that's such an important piece. And so, you know, I know that's kind of all over the place, but to answer your question, research is a part of it, but definitely, you know, meeting the family with and hearing where they're at as well.
I do need to scold you though, because you said a bad 4-letter word. Do you know what you said that was so bad? You said data. And like, everybody hates data. Teachers hate taking data. They don't look at the data. They don't use the data to change their curriculum. And yet you said that's what you look at when you're determining what is needed. And I say, of course, all of that facetiously, but it does. I mean, when I go into schools with parents as their coach or their advocate, and I ask the schools for their data, they just oftentimes give me this blank stare.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that you take data on things. So Meredith, you want to give that kind of answer to how much research and again, like Lindsay did, like, how do you determine at your setting what each individual student needs?
Yeah. So I want to just start with the curriculum team. Honestly, with the interactions that I've had with them over the last few months, we have an entire curriculum team that drafts our curriculum for us, like customizes it to our students. And so I think that's a really important thing. I think in the world of alternative education, there is a lot of really solid options, but I don't think they're necessarily streamlined as much as they possibly could be. And I'm so impressed with the way that Brightmont has all these locations and remains accredited, and yet at the same time is able to consistently still serve students the way that they need to. And so what I have often found in my experience is I want to be able to customize a plan for a child, but what comes along with that in order that it's just not like, oh, well, this just like feels right. You know, it's like there has to be some kind of like streamlined system into what we are presenting, right? And so I think that that is something that Brightmont does a phenomenal job in doing. And I'm always amazed, you know, we have an amazing, you know, group of parents. As we do lots of interacting with just a lot of different parents, just thinking outside of the box is not always that like first thing that they jump to. They're just, you know, they're like, this is what school is supposed to look like, and this is how we're supposed to do that. And so it is such a joy to get to walk parents alongside that process of like, oh, I mean, so kids don't need to be at school, you know, and on the bus by 6 o'clock in the morning. I look outside my bedroom window in the morning and I open the blinds, and there's literally kids getting on the bus. And I mean, it's right before 6 o'clock. And I'm like, this is just it's crazy. But you know, as like society, we're just like, this is what you do. And you know, like life isn't going to be accustomed to you. You know, that's like one of the things we hear. And so you have to learn how to like, you know, get into it. And I'm like, I believe that. But at the same time, what do we need to do to help accommodate until they're ready for that? And until they have the tools that they need to. And so as we develop plans, I love that we have that system that Brightmont has done such an amazing job of developing that we can hold on to as campus directors and then be able to serve our families with that system.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why I am so enamored with Brightmont, because if this could be the norm across the country, which unfortunately it can't, we haven't talked about the cost yet, but I do want to touch on that before the episode is over. And you know, every child would be able to learn then at their level, their speed, you know, their modalities. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the fact that you accommodate and understand and empathize, because I think parents were very shocked, and maybe society as a whole, but society as a whole didn't see it up close and personal like the parents did during the pandemic, that, you know, why are we sending our kids to school 8, 9, 10 hours a day when we can get all the academics done in mm-hmm. 4 or, mm-hmm. or 3, you know, depending on the age of the student. And so the fact that you recognize that, I want to talk about that too. Like, you're covering all the core subjects. Obviously you have to be credentialed in the state of Illinois or whatever state you're in, and that, you know, your students are getting what they need. So, I don't know which one of you wants to take this question, but what are the subjects, typical subjects, and you know, kind of talk about once you get into high school, what maybe some of the elective courses might be that the students could take?
So obviously we cover English language arts, math, social studies, and science. So those are the four core. At the elementary level, there is kind of that specials. So art, SEL, PE. PE is always the one that parents ask, well, how do you do that one-to-one? And Meredith and I both will tell you, like, it's amazing one-to-one, right? You can mm-hmm. customize. We have a lot of students that like to go for walks. We can, you know, we have a lot of different equipment at all of our campuses where just bringing in a yoga ball, like, you could do so much with that, mm-hmm. with a walking pad. So PE is part of that as well. Middle school kind of then opens their eyes to more electives in addition to the core, if that's something that a family wants to do. And then when you really get to high school, we have an amazing course catalog, which is online. So that is a really great tool for potential families to look at that course catalog. There are almost 1,000 courses, I think, at this point. And the beautiful thing, Meredith and I have really, you know, been surprised by, I think, is how seamless of a transition it is for students, regardless of what school or what age they are when they transition to Brightmont, because everything is so standards aligned. You know, if a student transfers to us in the middle of a geometry class, it's not like it's, you know, a whole new class and all of, I mean, it is very seamless because of that, you know, consistency with the systems that we have. But, you know, we offer everything is kind of what I say. There's not very many things that we can't do. We have a ton of courses. And then obviously with the ability to do some skill building and tutoring and enrichment, we also have a lot of different options there in terms of, you know, different subjects and courses as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would add too, in addition to that, I think when people think of like, what do you even have to offer at Brightmont? And it's like, they go to like that full-time program, and it's so much more than even just a full-time program. So I had a parent come in, it was a walk-in, you know, a few days ago, and he just was asking me all about, you know, his son is in high school right now. And he's like, what classes do you have? And it's a fully accredited program, which I think is amazing. So if you have a student who's struggling in a class, you know, we are happy to help, you know, accommodate and, really like have that student come in for that class only. And so there's lots of different possibilities instead of it just being like, you're either part-time or full-time school. I think Brightmont has taken that really into consideration of, we don't know what your next year looks like. We don't know what your next semester looks like. And so while we have you, we want to like do like the very best thing we can possibly for you, and then send you on your way, no matter what that looks like. And so I think that is a part of that like customization that we really take into consideration, is we want to make sure that, great, if you're going to be with us for 4 years of high school, that's amazing. Maybe you're only going to be here for the summer, and you're going to be kind of working on some of these, you know, extra courses that you want to kind of get out of the way, or maybe you need some credit recovery. We have classes for that too. So, yeah, I think that's a really beneficial thing.
The other thing, Shelley, I will add, just because I think this is something I've heard time and time again, and your listeners will also love, is we offer AP and honors level courses. And I have met with so many families who have been told by their schools, like, you know, Johnny is definitely capable of taking honors English, but can he handle the amount of assignments or the amount of homework that's associated with the class? And so they've never been able to take that class. And at Brightmont, like, we make it happen, right? One-to-one instruction means meet them where they're at. We certainly, you know, work with the family to figure out what do we need and what are going to be the obstacles. But if a student wants to take an honors or an AP level class, one-to-one, we have the ability to provide a lot more support. Support can look different. And so that student is able to take that course. And that has been life-changing for a lot of our high schoolers, because that's not something that their family or they have ever been able to do.
That is incredible. And I'm glad that you both brought that up, that it's so individualized that it can be one class, it can be a whole class, I mean, a whole semester, it can be in the summer, and having all of the options and the availabilities to you. So a couple of follow-up questions. And Lindsay, I think I'm going to ask this first one to you. What are the prerequisites, or are there prerequisites for a student being eligible for your program? And then Meredith, I'm going to follow that up with, if I'm a teacher and I want to go work for Brightmont, what do I need to do? So, and if you need to switch who answers those, that's okay with me.
Yeah. So we have a variety of learners in our program. The initial step is really to meet with a campus director at the campus closest to you. That allows us to just hear kind of what your needs are and where your child is at. From there, we typically meet with the student. Most of our students are college bound. So that is something to just kind of keep in the back of your mind. We certainly have special education staff as well as a variety of other staff on the campuses. You know, there are often times where we meet with a family where maybe we do need some more behavioral support, but we're accessing at or above grade level coursework. And so that sometimes is really just talking with the director and figuring out, like, what does programming look like for you know, our student. If it's a high school student, we also will look at transcripts. If it's a student that has an IEP or a 504, again, kind of having a neuropsych evaluation, any of those pieces are helpful to look at, but they don't necessarily drive our decision. It's really meeting the student, meeting the family, and figuring out, you know, is Brightmont the right fit for everybody?
Mm-hmm. So before we go to Meredith, so you don't have to have special education needs to be part of Brightmont. You can just be a typical student, whatever that means, and just be needing some extra support or a different environment or whatever it is.
Yeah. And obviously we talked a little bit post COVID, kind of opened a whole new slew of things going on. And that's really what we've seen, especially at the Illinois campuses, is this huge influx of students struggling with schooling, you know, school refusal and high anxiety, right? Sometimes we don't have an IEP. That just happens, right? And all of a sudden life has kind of changed and here we are, and how do we navigate that? So we have many students that don't have an IEP. Meredith mentioned we also have a lot of athletes. So students who don't have special needs, don't have kind of, you know, this history of things, they just need a flexible model.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome. All right, Meredith. I'm a teacher and I want to work for Brightmont. What are my qualifications? What do I have to know? And how do I apply, or not even apply, but just tell me what I need to know.
Yeah. So I think ultimately the thing that we are most concerned about is the way that there is like connection or not with the students. And so if you have a heart for serving students and for creating like plans and seeing like light bulbs go off, you know, I think I was in, you know, a regular, you know, public school for it was about 7 years. I was exhausted from the consistent assessments. It just felt like every other was some kind of progress monitoring. And I was like, I'm just not even sure I'm able to teach at this point. You know, I'm just right. doing
That's
all of
that
these.
D word that Lindsay mentioned before, all that data, all that progress monitoring.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, is this actually educating? I'm not really sure. And honestly, you know, there is a part of this that like, teachers have my heart, like genuinely. They are some of the biggest hearted people that I have like ever met, and they are willing to do so much. And so, I have a very high respect and high value for, our educators and those that are continuing to, stay on the front lines with our kids, whether it be traditional school settings or, you know, coming over to an alternative, school. But yes, I would welcome. We are building St. Charles, so I definitely recommend reaching out. I know that Lindsay also is in the hiring mode for Naperville and the huge growth that's happening from there at there as well. But I think ultimately we want to see people who are passionate about educating children and providing that individual plan for them. We do have an entire recruiting team that will take care of that. So they're all over LinkedIn and all of those things. So that is definitely, they will not directly reach. I mean, they're always welcome to directly reach out to us, but we will probably move them onto the recruiting team. And then yes, kind of go from there.
Awesome. And you mentioned LinkedIn. So I am going to put that up. It's just linkedin.com/company/Brightmont-Academy. And people can also find you on Facebook. Same basic thing, facebook.com/Brightmont Academy. And you're also on Instagram. Again, same concept, instagram.com/Brightmont Academy. And something that I said we would get to, and it's the dreaded, oh my gosh, you know, this program sounds phenomenal and amazing, and it would be great for every student, but it isn't going to work for every student because of more than likely the cost involved. Mm-hmm. So, and that wasn't really something that we had discussed when we were in person. I'd said, yeah, I'm sure this has to be expensive. And you both went, yeah. So how does someone, I mean, I don't know if you can say, you know, I don't know if there's a per credit, or I don't know how you do your financing. And I don't know which one of you wants to take that.
Lindsay, she wants to take
that. Sure. Okay. So obviously, because we do offer a lot of different things, you know, full-time packages, tuition ranges, it also varies by state. So all of that is listed on the website. So if you have any questions, one of the things I love is pointing families directly there. There's no, you know, we try not to hide things. So it is all listed there, but there is full-time packages, obviously range depending on the state that you're in, typically range anywhere from $15,000 to $35,000 a year. Outside of that, we have a lot of different options. So if you're taking a single course at the elementary, middle, or high school level, we have different pricing for that. In addition to, you know, skill building, after school intervention, enrichment, all of that. And it's truly, it's very, I think, affordable when you think about one-to-one instruction, utilizing, you know, our reading skill building utilizes an Orton-Gillingham approach. So it is very comparable to what you would pay if you were meeting with another, you know, certified or, you know, another tutor for those types of things. So it does vary depending on which program and kind of what you're enrolling in.
Awesome. Thank you. And so you said you thought you were in, was it 14 states?
I think it's nine.
Nine states. Okay. A bunch of states.
Yeah. We, well, and, I can't, I can list them if you want me to list. I don't know if that would be valuable.
Okay. The best way for people to find out is to go to brightmontacademy.com. Mm-hmm. And on that website, you both mentioned earlier, and I think that was before I started to go live, so the audience doesn't know, but they can set up a tour.
Yeah, they can set up a tour. They can schedule a call with a campus director or an admissions coordinator, to get any initial questions answered, kind of tell their story and see how we navigate from there.
Yeah. Now, do you have any, I think it wasn't as expensive as I thought. I've seen some online schools and mm-hmm. things that they're less than that, but you're probably not getting that, you're not getting that same connection that you get when you're with a human and you're, mm-hmm. I don't know how much support, people get in those programs, but that's still going to be a steep amount. So do you have any sort of tuition waivers or grants or scholarships or, the financial side of things? And I apologize. I will be totally honest. I was trying to put some things in the comment section. And so you might have said it and I just wasn't listening at that moment. So.
That's okay. Yes. Depending on the state you live in, there are grants, scholarships available. So I would certainly, if that is something that you need, we're happy to work through that process as well.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Okay. So I think I've covered the things that I really wanted to talk to the two of you about, but I want to make sure that, you've had the opportunity to share, or if any of the audience is listening, any questions that you have or comments about things, please put those in the chat and I will be sure to, bring those up. So ladies, are there things that we haven't talked about regarding the school that you definitely wanted to talk about today?
I think I kind of hinted a little before, just with the whole parent, we fully acknowledge that choosing alternative education is a big step. And so I think I just want, if there's teachers, families listening, I just want them to know that we understand. As a mom myself, I'm I understand these are the lives of your own children. And so we take that so seriously into consideration of wanting to work alongside with you, alongside of you, and making sure that we're here on that. I met with a mom who was just, really, really struggling. And she's like, this is just not the plan that I thought I had for my kid. And so there's there's almost some grief, I think, that comes a lot, along with that, as you're navigating the needs of your child and the expectations you thought maybe they would, whether it's academically or socially or whatever that looks like. And so we are kind of here for that process. And we are here to kind of just walk alongside any family. And I just challenge parents that it really is worth the risk. I know that sometimes when you don't know what's on the other side, just entering into that space really is worth the risk, for no matter how long that looks, whether it's taking a break, whether it's in a 4-year program, whatever that looks like, it's our joy to just be able to walk alongside parents in that. And then alongside with the students, who are in the middle of some very broken systems and some very broken, procedures and policies, and how do we care for them in a way that is life changing and life altering? And I think that is just to be able to hold that is such a privilege for each of our students. So,
yeah. That's and beautiful. Just, thank you.
Yeah. Piggybacking off of Meredith, I was in special education for 11 years prior to being at Brightmont, and I have never been in the 2.5 years I've been with Brightmont. I have never seen such a huge difference in students' confidence, in their ability to learn about themselves as a learner, to have a sense of autonomy again, and to redevelop that sense of control for a lot of them. Just by changing an environment. And so again, just empowering families to, you know, take that risk and look at some options if that's where you're at. Because I've seen such amazing growth in a lot of students, and just seeing that confidence is huge. Mm-hmm. It's life changing, like Meredith said.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine. And that's why, I mean, I think if I was in an area where there was a Brightmont near me, I might very much consider going back into a classroom, because the style that you all have, the philosophy that that at least you two have, and I imagine all the staff have, is extremely in line with the philosophy that I had when I was teaching. And just the education system in general is a good system for a large portion of students, but it's not every student. And so when we can find ways, and I really, really admire that it's not just kids who are eligible for special education services. I love that you see the student as a person. They're not an academic. They're not a behavior. They're not an athlete or a musician or a, you know, whatever, that you actually see the person as a person. And how can you wrap around that one person and really help them grow to be the best version of themselves as possible? And that was always my philosophy. It's like, that was my job as an educator, was to help all of my students be the best versions of themselves as possible, not just for the year that I had them or the couple or however long I had them, but to instill in them what you were just talking about, Lindsay, with their self-confidence, their joy coming back, their autonomy coming back. And just, that is such a blessing. And I don't think many people really consider how much is necessary to put into a child, any child, in order to help them become a productive and wonderful member of society. We either are going to put the money in and the time and the energy as they're going through school, or in many cases, we're going to catch that on the back end, but in a negative way. And so being able to do what you guys are doing and what all of Brightmont is doing is it's so heartwarming to me. Because like I said, I wish we could have that for every kid in the country, or not even every kid, but just the ones who really do need that flexibility, you know? And so I so appreciate what you guys are doing, and I just love it. And so I do though want to touch I guess, did you both get opportunities to say more than what we've covered so far?
One of the things I was going to bring up, because it's something I hear from families all the time, and I'm sure it's something you're curious about, and I remember we talked about, was socialization. Parents hear one-to-one school and they're like, what about socialization? What does that look like? So if I could just touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really quick, because I think it is something that families wonder. So we, you know, in between classes, like Meredith said, there's kind of that natural socialization that does occur. I would say across all of our campuses, it is very family-like, where we have younger students and older students in the space at the same time. So it provides a lot of really cool leadership opportunities for older students. There's kind of like a mentorship that happens. We also have lunch, which Meredith mentioned as well. It's a dedicated time where there is some structured socialization that can happen. Staff is also available during lunch, so that, you know, sometimes helps facilitate students that might need that little bit of extra push, or maybe have some anxiety around socialization, you know, make friends and develop relationships with their peers. And then in addition, across all of our campuses too, we do have some clubs and other activities. We try to do, you know, I will just kind of highlight the Arizona campuses are one of my favorite campuses to follow and see what they're doing, because they're constantly doing even like going to a baseball game where they will help coordinate families to meet together and go to a baseball game, go to a basketball game, and have, you know, just kind of those outside things too. But again, being purposeful and creating meaningful opportunities for socialization. You know, we know an 8-hour day, like in a traditional school with whatever, 400 or 500 students, like, yes, there are lots of opportunities, right? But how intentional is that? How meaningful is it? And so in our environment, it looks different. There's less opportunity, but I think we create such a space where it can be very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that, and then just, I know the answer to this because of my background, but I'm not sure that, you know, kind of the typical person maybe would know this, but when you're talking about kids with behaviors, I mean, you know, like you talked about that before, like, you know, the kids who they went to school and then they did ABA and they did this and they did that therapy. And so when you get families that come to you, and maybe their child is in ABA, which is applied behavioral analysis therapy, what are the strategies? What are the things other than, I mean, just having that one-to-one is huge, mm-hmm. for a lot of kids with behaviors, unwanted behaviors. Do either of you have any thoughts about specifics that you do, or do you just kind of, well, we're going to work on the academics and we'll let the ABA therapists do the other things?
So I'll jump in before Lindsay does. And she gives like the details of it. I think like what you said, Shelley, like when you go one-to-one, I think that alleviates so much, like right off the top, right? Where families are just like, you're not streamlined into like a class of 26 kids, or even, you know, I spoke with one family who was needing some additional, services through the school district. And so they were like, okay, you can go into this alternative, you know, class. And it was like 15 kids. And the mom was like, oh, 15 kids is not going to work either. And so I think just that one-to-one can like right off the top, like alleviate that, right. You know, a lot of the additional things. So Lindsay, you can go and give more detail.
We are very collaborative. It is, we are alongside that parent and alongside that team a lot of the time. So if a family is working with, ABA, mental health providers, outside therapists, like we will work together on things. And we really try as long as the family is willing to work with that team. And so sometimes just knowing like, yes, we're working on initiating and maintaining conversations, right? Or we're really trying to not talk about airplanes all the time. So like us knowing those things, we can, help our staff navigate conversations and help students with skills that they're working on. Other times it's just kind of what we pick up on in the space and learning like, okay, yeah, we're really struggling with conflict resolution. We're really struggling with managing our materials. Like, what do we need to add? How can we work as a team to add some of those pieces in to support that student?
Yeah, it's so incredible. And I'm so thankful that there are Brightmonts in as many states as there are. Do you know if there is any future plans to be in more states or more locations within the states that you are in? Because as I said, you guys are in Northern Illinois and I'm in Southern Illinois, so you're nowhere close to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meredith, you want to take that one or do you?
Yeah. So I feel like as soon as we print something off, we have like a map that has like all of the colleges, like that all of our graduates have been accepted into. And so all of the states that there are Brightmonts are like highlighted like a darker blue. And every time we print something, it's always, it feels like not always. It's like old information because I'm like, we like are opening so many at like, there's such amazing fast growth. And so that is like an absolutely incredible thing. So I know that North Carolina is another campus that was opened. Raleigh, I believe, was right around the time that I was opened, that I had opened as well. So I do know that I heard two, if not three, are in the works. of additional ones. I have not heard of any more in the state of Illinois, so I can't promise you any of that.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But I think it is important too, to like, even for some of your audience, there are online options as well. So like, even if we have some families who like to travel, and so they come into Brightmont in person. We love in person, of course, because we get to see their faces, but we can also go online if they're needed to be, you know, an online situation for somebody as well. So for some of our students.
Yeah. Yep. And online still means one-to-one. Cause that's another question I get too, is, you know, if I had math with Meredith at 10:30 on Tuesdays, regardless if I'm virtual or I'm in person, I'm going to have math with Meredith at 10:30. So,
yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I hadn't even thought about that. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. Thank you. Because there are kids that once the pandemic hit again, I hate to, go back to that, but that they realize like, oh, I am so much less stressed when I'm virtual. And so for some people that was fantastic for probably more than the majority there, more than the majority is a weird thing to say, but you know, the majority were like, no, get me back in a classroom. Mm-hmm. To even have that, or, you know, if a kiddo is, like you said, if they're traveling, and that, again, that opens up opportunities for families to do things during the school year, because a lot of things are cheaper during the school year because, a lot of these destinations know, well, nobody's going to be traveling. So we're going to reduce the rates. And so knowing that, if I'm going to take a week off of school, I don't need to ask the teacher to prepare all the work for the week. Mm-hmm. We can just log in from wherever we're at and still have, our school time. And then, that's mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. Or just pause completely. I mean, how cool would it be for some of our families are like, we actually were able to take a vacation in the middle of February. Mm-hmm. Right. February, what being one-to-one, we can pause and we can pick up where we left off, whether it's 3 days later or 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So I think that flexibility is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so awesome. So how many students at each of your locations are there currently?
So I have 7. So this is amazing. I would say for 2 months though, this is pretty incredible. And honestly, not even 2 months. So we had some snafus happening with, the city. We had to get things permitted and all those. So we have actually been open since October, but the building has not been done. So we have a beautiful library that's across the street. And so we have been, St. Charles Public Library was amazing and let us utilize, one or two of their rooms so that we could have a few sessions over there. So we have been going for maybe 2-ish months, all the while our building has only been open for about a month. So I have 7. Lindsay, go ahead.
Naperville currently has about 85 students and counting. So, we are open 8:30 to 6, and we have students who start and end their day at all different times. On average, we have about 35 students in the building on a given hour. But about total enrollment is about 85 right now.
Wow. That's so cool. And I know I didn't prep you ahead of time for this question. So if neither of you know the answer to this, this is totally fine. Do you know if there are any locations in the other spots that have more than 80 or 85 students?
Yeah. So our Arizona campuses are quite large, as well as our Washington campuses. Florida is kind of giving everybody a run for their money the last couple years here. But the Arizona campuses and Washington have upwards of 100. Don't quote me on it, but Chandler, Arizona is a very large campus. At one point, she had 150 plus students. So there are, many campuses that are, very small. And then there are some that are much larger. And it's the amazing thing is, Naperville has been open for 2.5 years. And we have stayed true to, you know, that's the curriculum and the system and the model and the philosophy, regardless of when we had, you know, seven students like Meredith had, you know, up to 20, up to 30, up to 50, up to nearing 100 now. And so, you know, students, regardless of what campus and the size of the campus, have really been able to, again, find a space that they feel like they belong.
That's amazing. That is so incredible. And I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to meet you both at that conference back in the fall. And I wish you both the best of luck. I'm going to give you one last minute each if there is anything you want to say, and then we're going to wrap up. So I'm going to start with Meredith this time.
Okay. So I've actually been thinking about this. Thanks for the minute. I'm just so, so grateful for this opportunity to be living in this day and age where there are options. And I think the options are getting even better. When I was going to school, you know, there were no options. And so, like you were kind of saying before, Shelly, like what I'm grateful at is, like, you know, some traditional school settings can fit for kids. And it's a certain number of kids, but what do you do with the kids that don't fit into that? And so no matter what you choose and what your kid fits into, I'm just grateful for the options that continue to, develop and evolve. So.
Awesome. Meredith, Lindsay, sorry. Meredith's like, I just went.
No, it's empowering as somebody who was in education for a long time and really just wanted to make a difference for students, to provide a different option. And so I am also incredibly grateful to be able to do that. It is, Shelly, we were so, you know, we walked away from that dyslexia conference, feeling so appreciative of the work that everybody at that conference does. Mm-hmm. But again, just incredibly grateful for, you know, I think you work with a variety of different families and an audience who, you know, has heard no, who has heard I don't know, who has heard a lot of different things. And at the end of the day, like, they're humans, they're students, they, you know, they're learners, they're people. And so how do we help them navigate this world, and open their eyes to, you know, something different? And so, you know, we are so appreciative to be able to connect with you, but also, everybody that you serve and everybody just kind of in this same space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, ladies, thank you so much. I hope this has been as painless as possible and that you have actually enjoyed our episode today. I very much, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate and respect both of you and what Brightmont is doing for students across the country. And for those who are listening, check out the website, brightmontacademy.com, and it's BRIGHTMONTacademy.com. And see if they're in your area, set up a tour, go check them out. If they're not in your area, I'm sure there's a contact spot on the website that you can say, I want you in my area. and if they get enough of those, I'm sure they will look and see. I know today we had, several guests joining us, our audience members from overseas. I'm sure that you all would love to take this philosophy overseas. So, those of you that were in India, check them out. Don't just say, oh, it's something that America has. We don't have that here. Check them out. Sure to reach out. And I did throughout the episode today, show Lindsay and Meredith's emails. So reach out to them or reach out directly to Brightmont Academy. And I just want to wrap up by saying thank you, everybody who joined me today. And remember, guys, like and subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss any of my amazing guests. And we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I will see you next time. Have a great week.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.